We are going to actually take a bit of a step backward. We were going through Isaiah and had gotten like up to chapter 56 of Isaiah, but there was a point that I purposely did not cover when I was going through. We never did preach anything out of the 51st chapter of Isaiah. And there was something that I really liked in there, but I didn't. I just thought, you know what? I just don't know. I just don't know if I. I'm just not going to preach this. I'm just not going to preach it. But it's still been on my mind, and I was reading through it again this week and looking at it, and I just decided, you know what? I'm going to preach this. And this is a fairly simple point, and this should be a fairly short sermon. But I want to, if you'd stand with me today, we are going to read Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 6. And then what I'm going to do while you're still standing is we're going to read these verses, and then we're going to read them again. And I'm going to give like a little 10-second or 20-second per verse explanation so that when we really get down to our real text, we know what we're talking about here. We know what's going on. So hear the word of the Lord today. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving in the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law, or some translations say a teaching. This isn't the law of Moses. This is just a teaching, a word. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples, the coastlands. Hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Arm is a word for power. In other words, for my power they wait. The arm of the Lord is the power of the Lord. Verse 6 is our real text for today. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. Everybody please say, in like manner. We're going to really focus in on that phrase right there, in like manner. So the earth will wear out like a garment. They who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. So I'm going to preach now let's go back up here. Can you stand for another 2 minutes? Okay, here we go. Let's go back up to verse 1 so you guys know what we're talking about here. Isaiah is writing to captives who would have been in Babylon. You know, remember when Nebuchadnezzar came in, overthrew Jerusalem, and carried off the residents to Babylon. And you've got some of the righteous remnant. These were the good, godly people that they got carried away off with the rest of the nation, and they're down in Babylon, and they're discouraged. They're down in Babylon, they're very, very discouraged. And so he is not talking to the whole nation of Israel. He's just talking to that righteous remnant. And they're living down in Babylon, and he says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. In other words, this is you're the righteous remnant. That's verse 1. Verse 2, he says, look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore you. And the point he is making here is, when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, he just left, and it was basically him and his wife, Sarah. And could she have children? She was barren. So God, they're feeling forsaken down in Babylon, saying, what are we going to do? And God's saying, look back to Abraham, your father. When I called him out, it was just him and a barren wife, and I made a nation out of it. And if I can do that with him, I can do something with you. Okay, that's what he's saying here, okay? Then in verse 3, for the Lord comforts Zion. Zion is just another word for Jerusalem. For the Lord comforts Jerusalem. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden. One of these days I will teach on Eden. Eden was sacred space. It was a sacred space. It was a place that God would come down and commune with man. It was a sacred space. And what he is saying here is he will make Jerusalem, not that it would be green and lush and beautiful, but he would make it a sacred space. He would be kind and restore Jerusalem is what he's saying here. Okay. And then if you look down in verse number 5, he says, my righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out. You've got some near fulfillments and some far off fulfillments here. On the near side, he is saying, he's telling them, you are down here in Babylon. I'm going to take you back. I'm going to liberate you to go back to Jerusalem. And he's saying, my righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out. In other words, help is on the way. The cavalry's coming, so to speak. But there was an ultimate fulfillment of this passage with the coming of Jesus Christ as Messiah. That was the true salvation. Okay, that was the true salvation that was to come. He also says here, he says, my arm will judge the people, my arms. You notice how everywhere it's always the arm of the Lord, the arm of the Lord, which is the power of the Lord. You notice here he says arms, plural. So you say, what, was one arm not enough? No. God is just doubling it, just saying that with the fullness or the plentitude of my power. That's why he doubles up the plural on arms. I will judge. That word judge means rule over the peoples, over the nations. The coastlands, which means borders outside of Israel. So in other words, God is talking about a far off fulfillment, that a day would come in which by the plenitude of his power, he would rule over not just Israel, but all the nations of the earth. And that's, so then we come back to verse 6, and we're going to read verse 6 again, and then you guys are going to sit down and I don't get to. Okay, verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. Everybody again say, in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, we pray that you would open up our minds and our hearts. Let your word sink deep, deep, deep down on the inside of us, God. Let your word strengthen us. Let your word be a foundation that we can stand on in these very unsure times that we are living in, God. Let your word be that foundation, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated, and I'm going to be preaching on the eternal versus the temporal. The eternal versus the temporal. And if you'll go down to verse 6, I'm not joking. We're going to probably be preaching about 15 minutes here. This is not going to take very long. I've got one point I really want to make and I really want to drive home. And I purposely went through those other verses to give you the context that I didn't want to, all of that to confuse you with what I was going, the main point I was going to make. So we understand that this chapter is about, it's two captives that were living in Babylon. And they were discouraged. And God was telling them, listen, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back to Jerusalem. And then he says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke and the earth will wear out like a garment. And in other words, the earth is going to, if you were to have been a captive down in Babylon, when you would look at the earth and look at the stars, that would seem so permanent to you. That would seem so incredibly permanent to you. But God, looking down on the earth from an eternal perspective, was saying, oh no, all of this that you look at on the earth and all of that, all this that you seem, that seems so permanent to you is actually something that it wears out. It wears out like a garment. It wears out. You know, let me say it this way. When I was a kid, I never wore out a single piece of clothing. You say, how is that possible? I'd outgrow it. I never wore out a pair of pants because before I could wear them out, I grew out of them. I never wore out a shirt. So you can understand my surprise that when I became an adult, I can remember I was sitting in work, and I'd sit at the desk, and I'd put my elbows on the desk, and I can remember I was putting my elbows on the desk, and then I did something, and I raised my arm, and all of a sudden, my elbow came through, came through the shirt, and I realized, oh wow, I just wore out a shirt. Well, you see, as a kid, I'd never done that before. I never wore anything out because I would just outgrow it, and they would have to buy me something, you know, something newer, because I was growing. But God was saying, in the same way, a shirt that you wear it, and you wear it, and you wear it, and then finally there comes a day. Have you ever had a favorite shirt, and you wear it until it wears out? Has anybody done that? Oh yeah. You wear it until it wears out. And I've even gotten online and tried to find the same shirt again, because it wears out. And God's saying that look to the heavens and look to the earth. This earth is going to wear out like a garment. And then it says, and they who dwell in it will what? Die in like manner. Now here's where, I don't think you're going to judge me, but I think you're going to immediately say, wait a second. I think, will you be open-minded? Will you be, everybody here be open-minded? As y'all know, I like to study the Bible in several different translations. And if you look at the ESV, which is what we got here, it says that they will die in like manner. If you look at the King James, it says they will die in like manner. If you look at the New American Standard Bible, it says they will die in like manner. But then, Sister Kristen, sometimes you read from the NET. I've heard you read, you'll quote a verse, and you've used the NET some. Kristen, if you'll look at the NET, it says this. It says its residents will die like what? Come on. They're going to die like gnats? These other translations say it's die in like manner. Die like gnats? And then, you know, Kristen's sitting there very embarrassed right now saying, I wish Pastor wouldn't have told them that I read from the NET, because now I'm embarrassed. Well, believe it or not, the Christian Standard Bible, which is a very good translation, I refer to it often, says its inhabitants will die like gnats. So the NET's not alone. Probably the most woodenly literal Bible, English Bible, to ever be translated, that is just a basic word-for-word translation, and it makes it difficult to read and awkward, is the Lexham Bible. The Lexham Bible says gnats. Okay? The Good News Bible says gnats. Carl, sometimes you refer to the NLT, and the NLT does not say gnats. Correct. He's back there flapping his wings. I didn't know he could do that. I didn't know you could. The NLT says like flies. The non-inspired version, the NIV, New International Version, says like flies. And Sister Josie, believe it or not, some of the Spanish translations also say either insecto, or mosquito. I didn't realize that you said that in Spanish that way, mosquito. And so let me tell you something, Sister Kristen, you're not alone. The NET's not alone in saying this word. And you say, well, Brother Wiggins, how in the world can you have in like manner, they'll die in like manner versus die like gnats? Somebody's got to be right and somebody's got to be wrong. Wouldn't you think? Well, and believe me, I'm going somewhere with this, folks. I'm going somewhere with this. Now, let's look at, Bill, if you can give me that one that looks like a pie chart. That picture looks like a pie chart. This word, see how it says gnats out here on the left? This word is used, I don't have my little red dot here. This word is used 6 times in the Old Testament, this Hebrew word. And this Hebrew word that they translated gnat or manner is used 4 times in the book of Exodus. Remember that plague where the insects were, that was one of the plagues, okay? So in Exodus chapter 8, that was used 3 times. And then in Psalms, talking about that plague, they use that word. And then the 5th time it's used where it says so up here was when they're describing when they came back from the spies, came back from Canaan, and they saw those giants in the land in Canaan, and they said, we are like grasshoppers and so in their sight. Well, let's just put the word gnat in there. Would that also contextually make sense? That they came back and they said, man, there's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers and gnats in their sight. So I'm going to say that I think there's some pretty good support here for saying gnat, okay? I think there's some pretty good. In fact, Bill, give me that. This is a bunch of Hebrew lexicons. A lexicon is just a fancy word for dictionary. BDB, that's Brown's, Driver, and Briggs. Gnat, gnats, gnat, swarm, louse, lice. This is another, look at all of these. Look at haylots, gnat, the double Hebrew dictionary, annoying insect, gnats, lice, flies. You know, you've got a lot of support here for the word gnat. And you said, Brother Wiggins, I still don't see where you're going. And when you look, and let's just pretend that it's gnat. It says that the inhabitant of the earth will die like gnats. Have you ever had a mosquito? I've put a red spot on my arm before, Robert, just because I've had a mosquito. And I just, wow. And man, it was satisfactory. I mean, it hurt my arm. I'd have a little red handprint on my arm. But man, it felt good to kill that mosquito. And I just say, man. Is that what we're talking about here? That we're all going to die like gnats? No. No, it's not. If you look at the context, he's talking about something temporary versus something eternal. So that got me thinking, okay, well, maybe that's what. So I thought, well, what could be temporary about a gnat? And now some of you guys are going to jump. You're going to want to Google this. Right now, sitting here, you're going to have people that are going to start Googling, please, I spent too much time working on this. Please let me unfold this. I had so much fun studying for this one. Please let me unfold this. Did you know the lifespan of a turtle? Did you know that there are some turtles that can live over 100 years? That's a long time. Can you imagine your mom and dad giving you a turtle when you're a kid and your dad telling you you need to be sure and put something in your will for who's going to take care of that thing for when you die? You're only 8 years old now, but that turtle's going to outlive you. Okay? And the largest whale, to my knowledge, is the blue whale. They live 70 to 90 years. Okay? The creature that they're saying might be the oldest, have the longest lifespan, is a kind of a rare whale called the bowhead whale. Are you ready for this? A healthy bowhead whale can live anywhere from 100 to 200 years. Okay? Personally, my personal favorite, as far as, they're not a true whale, but I love studying and reading about them. Those are the killer whales, the orcas. I just love those guys. And they call them the wolves of the sea. Killer whales. This is one that bugs me a little bit. Because, Robert, I like being strong. I want to be a man. I want to be strong and be a man. The average male orca lives to be 30 years old out in the ocean. The average female, 50. Almost double. Those female orcas, I don't know what to say. They're just stronger. They're just stronger genetic creatures than the male parts. Kind of disappointed me when I read that. And then you get to looking at other animals. Elephants, believe it or not, can live up to 70 years. I will abbreviate the story down to just one little. There was a very interesting article that I read years ago, and it was called The Earmarked Buck. And the St. George, Utah. Brian, you've been through St. George. And it was a boy and his grandfather, and they were on their ranch, and they saw a young yearling buck, only a year old, and he was tangled in the fence, which means he's going to die. And the little boy said, "Grandpa, let's help this deer out, help this buck out." And so they went over to the fence, and the grandpa got his wire cutters out and started cutting and snipping some things. And right before they let the buck out go, he reached up, and when they didn't, you know, used to they would brand cattle, and then they got in Utah where they would earmark them, and they would put a little notch of a certain shape, and that was like a brand, that you were the only, you know, every ranch had its little shape, and he took and he made that notch on that buck's ear, okay, and then they let the buck go, and he goes running off in the woods. 27 years later, a hunter living in St. George, Utah, shot a buck. And when he got that buck on the ground, it had a notch out of his ear that was a peculiar shape, just like it had been notched like a cow. He told a friend of his about the buck, and his friend said, No. I remember a story. My buddy told me a story about him and his grandpa. He goes, get that deer in the back of the truck and bring it over to the... They took it to the ranch. The grandpa was already dead. He was gone. He died of old age. And the boy, who was only like 7 years old at the time, now in his 30s, looked down and he says, "Yeah, that's the earmark. That buck had lived 27 years, which is a lot longer than most deer live." I said all that to say, I'm not trying to give you a botany lesson today or whatever you would call all of this. I'm sure somebody's Googled it already. Average lifespan of a gnat. Are you ready? Think of this. Think of turtles over 100 years, elephants 70 years, bowhead whale up to 200 years. A gnat, are you ready? 7 days. Now, and if you could put verse number verse number 6 there from Isaiah 51 back on the screen. Now, can you see why this Hebrew word, Isaiah used it intentionally because it can have two meanings and they both make sense. Same as English. English, the word right, everybody says, oh, the right hand side of the right hand side's over on this side for you guys, right? Well, I just said right though. So right can mean right side, or right can mean correct. Or right can mean, hey, I've got constitutional rights. Same word, three different meanings. Well, this Hebrew word is the same way. It can be translated in like manner, and it could also be translated like both are correct. And to get the full meaning of the scripture, you need to actually have translations that's going to give you both of them. Because he's saying that you might think you live a long time, but when you look at it through the eyes of eternity, I don't want to hurt your feelings, Brian, but Brian, your life is like a gnat in the eyes of God. God, don't get me wrong. God knows your steps. God loves you. God watches you every day. But as far as the length of your life in relation to eternity, it's like a gnat that only lives 7 days. When I was a kid, and another 5 minutes and I'm done. Will you let me go on? When I was a kid, my dad would always came on Sunday evening, watch 60 minutes. Tick, 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 tick. Does anybody remember that? Or am I dating myself? But it would 60 minutes would come on and it would show this, and you'd hear the tick, 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 and it's called 60 Minutes. And there was one of those episodes. I was just a kid. I was like 8 years old. I think I've seen 60 Minutes in probably 40 years, but this episode of 60 Minutes, it shows this guy, and he's chopping wood, and it names his name. And it says, he is 91 years old. And I mean, he's chopping wood, Robert. He's chopping wood. And it says he's 91 years old, and he still chops his own firewood. But he has to quit early today because they're having a big party in town that he's got to go to. So he's quit, and it shows him getting on his horse and riding off. This is in some third world country that didn't have a car. It says he's 91 years old, he's chopping wood, but he's got to quit early today because he's got to go into town because there's a big party because it's his, are you ready? It's his mother's birthday. He's 91 years old and he's got to go to his mom's birthday party. Clean living, I guess. I don't know. Over 100 years old. But even so, in relation to eternity, it's like the life of a gnat. Isaiah is telling these captives, listen, I know you're discouraged in Babylon. I know you don't like what's going on, but every day that you get up, you need to make sure that you try your best to live a godly life, to try to walk in a holy manner before the Lord, in an acceptable manner before the Lord, because your life might to you seem like a long time, but in reality, your days are like the days of a gnat, and they're going to be gone before you know it. Remember Jerry Clark, Malia's dad? Remember how he had that brain tumor? And thankful for he had that tumor and lived for years with it. He finally got him, but he was like 74 years old, and he told my oldest son, Alan. He said, Alan, I'm 74 years old. He said, just yesterday I was a teenager, and I turned my back and my life's over. It happened so fast. I've been married for 40 years. And to me, this is still the, don't anybody laugh because she'll get you good. In my mind, in my eyes, this is still the high school girl. I started dating her her sophomore year. To me, we've been married for 40 years. Maybe it's gone by so fast. And I'm just here to tell you folks today what Isaiah was saying. You need to live God. You need to try everything in you to live a Christian life, because your time on earth here is so small compared to eternity. It is like the life of a gnat. And let's all stand. I've got some verses I'm just going to read. I'm not going to expound upon them. James chapter 4. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Your life is like a vapor that goes up in the air like steam. You see it, and then in just a second, it's gone. The 39th Psalm. Behold, you have made my days a few hand's breadths, and my life is nothing before you. To a God of eternity, somebody that lives 100 years, it's like nothing. Job 9:25, my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. James chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Let the lowly boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. Peter said it this way. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. You know, church, I almost still feel like I'm the... You're going to laugh at this, but I've been pastoring here about as long as Ron Bodie pastored this church before me. But I still feel like the new guy. But I've been here as long as the other guy. Why? Because it passes so quickly. I do not want to get to the end of my life and realize that I never made things totally right with God. My days on this earth are swift and they are few. Oh God, let me spend them walking according to your word. As Paul said in Romans 8, that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh God, my days are few. I pass away like a gnat, but let me spend my time walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. Oh God, I don't know about you, but that sobers me. Listen, and I know you're standing, we've got a limited amount of time, church. And no, I'm not talking about some rapture or anything. I'm talking about our lives. If we all grow up and die of old age, we have a limited amount of time on this earth. Let's give it to God. Let's give it to God. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I praise you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all come forward and pray for a little while. Seek God. Thank you. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I'm so thankful for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord. God, in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord.